So here we are, Aaron. Well, that's our campaign coverage. I think that does pretty well. It's a good thing. So I wore my jaguar he sees in the dark. So he wanted to come tonight and other beings we can introduce. But I did, it is a fun synchronous time now. So buddy David Grimes coordinated a Zoom with his friend name will come back to me, memorable, a wonderful wise witch who lives in Glastonbury and near where Dion Fortune lived. And so she had collected three glasses of water from the well underneath the Tor, the magic powerful place in Britain. And she put it into my cup telepathically, and we're going to later put it into all of our cups. But yeah, these powerful places. And she herself had been to Newgrange this morning, powerful synchronicities, and entered the darkest, darkest tomb, and then found a woman there from the Ukraine being smudged and praying. And we go, ooh, it's all together. But we convened so that I had brought up Violet Firth, Dion Fortune's chart. And I'd said, like, when we'd gone to New Orleans, and I would sit outside Marie Laveau's grave and go, Marie Laveau, are you willing to be, the mythological news director for the South? And there was a cool wind that came in. So in the same sense, I mean, Dion Fortune, pretty feisty, but I go, are you willing to come guide us? And yes, she is. So I use this invaluable book, right? The Magical Battle for Britain. We replaced battle with dancing. But on October 20th, 1940, she wrote, there are bombs all over. As the crashes drew nearer and nearer amid a concentration of anti-aircraft fire, the conditions were such that the inner and outer planes seemed to merge. And it was impossible, and it was possible to see the invisible helpers at work as innumerable shadowy presences. There were also presences of a much higher grade who seemed to be holding lines of power taut under great tension. Over all was the iridescent dome of protection, guarded by great angelic presences. These are among the things we've been visualizing and building on the astral, and at the moment of testing, it was a wonderful experience to see how potent and tangible they were. The stick of bombs fell one after the other in roads and gardens, and there were no casualties. This is the second time that this has happened in our immediate vicinity. That there are powerful forces at work can hardly be denied. Our friends can help with the work of protection by frequent and regular invocation. Yeah, we like how many of you have been spiraling things out to, I think that's a great idea. And Elizabeth started it off, right? And she says, but if we have dedicated our lives, then we are entitled to call down the power that shall protect us while we do the work of protecting. And she says, we need conditions under which we can work efficiently, and it's part of that work that we should build ourselves defenses. We might want to even play with defenses. And then she says, at the moment of clear vision during the bombing, it was conveyed to us that the great and urgent need at the moment was for such channels to be opened freely, and that we should be bold in making and invoking these contacts. It is with this great symbol that we've worked all these months, and we must make increasing use of it. During the past year, it will be recalled that we worked for two things: the morale of the nation and a new world order when peace shall be declared and prevail. Now that the testing has come, the morale of the nation has proved itself to be beyond praise, and the idea of regeneration and reconstruction is discussed on all hands everywhere. A new phase of our work is opening and will be made clear in the course of the next weeks. But it's a powerful visualizing, I think. I read it to Pat, and you said, Pat, you said it gave you goosebumps. The iridescent dome of protection guarded by great angelic presences. And we say some things are always true, but times when they're truer. So, power is especially eager to incarnate into metaphoric templates on our altars. And it does seem, with this dark of moon behind us and the new moon today, that altars really want to be humming. Mine's sort of half there, but I did find somebody. Wait, let me reach for her. I did, whoop, I did find somebody who wanted to join us. Yeah, and I saw her in the Botanica. This is La Bella Muerta. There she is, really very fall, very election presiding. And I think, Pat, I sent you a photo in the Botanica going, I think she might want to come home. And you said, that's a ballot. We go, right? It's a oh, great cat, great cat. That's a ballot. So she's here, again, a playful, dark, spicy, interesting, spooky. All right, you go back here to the altar. So just to, there you go. Thank you. Very wonderful. So just to situate ourselves, I'm going to briefly bring up the chart of now so we can just, you know, and if you know astrology, that's great. And if you don't, just let it wash over you. It doesn't matter. So here's us. Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. All that dizzy moving around. You'll go over there. I think that's right. Okay. So the way this works, astrology, this is a live action chart. This is the Earth. This is me outside Washington, D.C. This is the line of horizon. So we just want to honor some things. On Saturday, Saturn's day, Saturn, now overhead on the East Coast, stationed and went from retrograde, inner, where it had been since early June, you know, and then stood still at this powerful degree, which is Barack Obama's rising sign, which is weary fire responders finally succeed in quelling a dangerous, volatile force. And we go, wait, okay. So Saturn stationed to go forward, which is outward. It's like, oh, okay, so we had the dark of the moon, now a new moon. Ooh. And the new moon, this morning, early this morning, the sun was at 2 degrees of Scorpio, the moon was at 2 degrees of Scorpio, Venus was at 2 degrees of Scorpio. The image for that is happy house-raising party, everyone helping, collective group projects. What a good idea. And then I'm always delighted to see the moon at 9 Scorpio. Sylvia knows this because we all have our favorite charts of America, a different birth time. I'm fond of them all, but I love the one that on the back of a $100 bill, there's a clock tower with a very specific time. And if we do the chart of America with that time, it gives 9 Scorpio rising. It's where the moon is right now. And it's one of those things, you know, whatever we study or love, it's how everything will speak to us. So I see 9 Scorpio a lot because I love it so much. And it's as the secret soul of America. And its image is fellowship supper reunites old comrades. So it's like, oh, that's great. And then just to point out, and Sylvia taught me this a long time as well, Thor's hammer. We have a number of beautiful patterns just that are available to all of us that we will honor. But there's a particular pattern called Thor's hammer, and it is, wait a minute, I can do this. I can almost do this. I saw it a minute ago. Oh, yeah. So it's, no, never mind. Never mind me. I can't find it. Maybe Sylvia can find it. We have, oh, no, wait. Okay, wait, here we go. Okay, it's Neptune, 135 degree angle to the moon. The moon, 135 degree angle back to Mars, and Mars square is 90 degree angle here. So it's a very particular pattern that Sylvia taught me a long time ago, 135 degree angle, 135 degree angle, and a 90 degree angle. And I said then going, oh, it's called Thor's hammer. Maybe we want a jollier term. But then I looked it up online, and Thor's hammer is the power to sweep corruption out of the halls of governance. And it's like, oh, we'll take it. And it's the soul of America, the fellowship supper, fellowship triumphing over hatred and spite. And then just we have the grand trine, Saturn, trine Mars, trine Mercury back here. Anne is checking in with the Fetterman debate right now. And we go, yeah, well, we wish, you know, eloquence for all who speak the truth. May they have irresistible eloquence that resonates in the hearts of the citizenry. We go, that's wonderful. Our midheaven right now is White Dove Descends bearing a message of peace. And that's also probably pretty close to Fetterman's debate. And we go, all right, there's that. So just you can always ask more questions, but that's just a brief overview. And then we wanted to go to the extremely welcome Pat, who said no more time for polls.
Yeah, because we're
plenty of time for cats. I love that.
Yeah,
it's a pole cat.
It's a pole cat, exactly. Hey, honey. Polling time is kind of over, and in the sense that they're going to go up and they're going to go down, and really people that, again, we talked about this last time, but the pollsters have become so specialized with the communities that they actually believe they understand, that what you're going to see if you watch it is you're going to feel yay, then oh, then yay. And it's like, why at this point deal with that? Because as a council, we've also been figuring out what's our intention, what kind of things we want to understand, and what do we want to put forth? What do we, you know, what do we feel? And what are, what's our vision? And I want to today really, you know, continue that. And so, you know, I do want to say though, as of today, there have been 8 million early votes cast. And that is, you know, almost as much as were totally cast in 2018. And so that in and of itself, that number gives us a huge instruction as to the enthusiasm. In Georgia alone, we're actually, the early votes are actually up to the 2020 level, the presidential level. So there's incredible enthusiasm out there, incredible enthusiasm. And we still want to, like Charlie Crist last night did a great debate against DeSantis. And if DeSantis could just be on his way to a new job and let's get you a better one that's more fit for you, thank you, you can leave the stage now. That would be incredible as far as a message. And we've got Fetterman tonight. And so, the work for the enthusiasm, the clarity of vision, how we want compassion to move forward in these elections, how we want to disassemble and sort of work with and change the dynamic of the desire for violence on election day and before. There was this great clip that I saw of these three guys outside of Arizona ballot box. And so, you know, it's an early voting site. And these three guys are sitting there and they're in their camo and they've got guns and they won't show their faces either, which I think is really like, look, buddy, if you really think you're doing something right, then take the mask off your face. Right. So, and they're doing that. So this lovely woman gets out of her little, you know, SUV, pulls out a lawn chair and says, let me sit down with you. What are you doing? And she just starts chatting with them and they called the police on her. And so this woman's like, hey, I'm just chatting with guys trying to figure out what they're doing. And so it was a wonderful, wonderful cross communication of, you know, actually chatting with these guys and showing them that they're really not that intimidating.
And I just want to chime in a little bit, because in the Twitter feed, it got good, right? In the quality of what we're dedicated to, just like the woman, somebody said, well, let's, you know, you can park. How about cars parked in front of those guys? And then it was like, right, and a party with music and really great pizza and, you know, masks and a cauldron, you know, it's like whatever, and make it so, you know, and it would be, you know, only three other people have seen this movie, Judge D and the Four Heavenly Kings. But at the end, the Taoist guy, you know, does really liberate the demons and convey to them, anybody in prison, everybody in prison, right? And the demons come to the ground and go, oh, well, we repent, you know? And we can just hold that metaphor too, right? We go, great costume with your AR. Yeah, but anyway, but it was the right way to go, which is, again, spiral, not provocation, because again, the Dementors feed on strife, but pizza, singing, yeah. It was drawing out some really creative, good parts of people.
We were talking about also backstage, which I asked Caroline, okay, so we know the senators, right? We know those, you know, we talked about last week too, how even in Iowa, Chuck Grassley is not doing great and he's kind of even. And, you know, there's a lot of Senate races that could really be pulled off here. But how do we think about the House? Because there's 435 of them. How do we think about it? And one of the ways, and you guys might have other ways, is a number. What number do we want of House members? And then what does that number mean? And so we were thinking of 228 Democrats and 207 R's. So being realistic, it's not going to be 435, you know, Democrats, right? It's just not. So, but, and Caroline, you were going through what those numbers meant and well, how,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I think we play with everything, right?
Yeah,
Like
exactly.
the little mini donations I make $13 donations, $5 donations, and sometimes $50 donations. But so, well, we like 228 just because it's the High Priestess, High Priestess, and the Strength card, and it adds up to and reduces to three, the Empress. Just we're good with that. And we like the Republicans at 207 because that adds up to nine, which is the end of a cycle. That's the end of that's all you get from now on for quite a while. So yeah, because if anybody else has a way they want to think about the Congress, right, or the House, but we were like, oh, the numbers. We'll go with numbers. The number 13 for the Supreme Court. We're keeping that humming on our altars. 13 Supreme Court justices. But I think that's great. 228 Dems. 207 Republicans, and we can all are we up for that?
Yeah.
Are we in
Does that
accord with
work?
that? But and then also I liked when it's like no more Steve Kornacki, because what you also said, about no more time for polls. You said we're not taking polls anymore. We're living in the space of dreams coming true. And you wrote, how will you feel when this dream comes true on election day? Let's, speak of this. That's really good. We're remembering,
Oh
right?
yeah. So what is it, what are you going to feel like? And if there's people want to say that, because we've all manifested before and we've all done our meditations before and we all have experiences with doing this. And so what will it feel like the day after the election or the day of the night? What's the emotion you're going to have? Who are you talking to? Where are you sitting? Where are you, even if you're by yourself with your, cup of tea and with your feet up and woohoo, or is there somebody there with you that's special that you want to actually speak with? And what is that? How are you raising that energy to that point where it feels like this beautiful breakthrough, like, oh, it worked, we did it, and what kind of passion you want to have? And I open it up. I mean, if there's folks who have an idea about a fun way to celebrate that night and to think about that night and to work towards that visualization, but it's a matter of raising that energy up to that point. So we're helping everybody raise their energy as the elections are going forward. And then it also helps the candidates to have the energy for the last couple weeks for to get, for the, and get everybody out to vote.
Right, and to have it be that and also a stable because there might it might take a while for votes to come in and. And
Right.
we might be cooling things out. We might be cooling things out. I've always known from the election chart, fantabulous as it is, the sun at 16 Scorpio, moon at 16 Taurus, Uranus at 16 Taurus, square Saturn, but Chiron at 12 plus Aries, which is a bomb that fails to go off. So we've always known that there will be bombs to defuse, and that's part of why we gather too. Again, anything up to no good be revealed, rendered harmless, an occasion for mirth. One of our things, and also anything up to no good fizzle like a wet firecracker fart, like fizz. And when we get to writing headlines, those are fun, like amazing. These things didn't go out. Whoa, are we lucky? Wow, that's also I think part of that. So yeah, so we wanted to speak about Scorpio, and yeah, I was looking over everybody's charts. I don't have them all in my mind, but I know that somebody here has planets at 12 plus Aries, and it's like you defuse the bombs, and we'll help you. But to speak of Scorpio, and the eighth house, and Pluto as kind of resonant, and so the things I often use, but I'm gonna do them again because these are. These are complex realms of our inner and outer psyche that the modern world doesn't know that much about, but it yearns for it at times like Halloween. So I always go back to the New York Times science article from years ago that said scientists discover that beneath and around every river is an invisible river, teeming with microorganisms, but invisible. About 500 feet down beneath the river and about a half mile out from each of the river banks. And it said scientists further discover that the health of the visible river depends on the health of the invisible river. And it's like, right. This is Eighth House Scorpio Metaphysics 101 that we're all a part of, and it's all humming in all of our charts too. And it was, and may it be again, that it was understood that around everything is an invisible field, right? Around our arm, around this group, around an election, around a river, you know, and that the tending, the stewarding of the invisible was part of responsible us, responsible leadership. And that's also right now where the invisible is so present, you know, to make deals, right? For what are we willing to be cultural agents on behalf of what we love in nature? And I also always go back to when I first began living with Sella Coyote, actual coyote. I hosted a Lakota elder on the radio, and he said, nothing smarter than coyotes. And then he said, you know, we Lakota did not hunt alone. Those gifted could go backstage, Eighth House, into a reverie or a trance, and they would broker a working alliance with the wolves and coyotes, and we would all hunt together for a season. And if you want to destroy a culture, destroy the earth, make people forget that, or diss it, you know, but we need that. And I love that when there's such a Scorpio Eighth House dynamic going on, and so many of, well, really everyone here, you know, to experiment, you know, in going backstage into a reverie and weaving a broken treaty or a broken alliance with something we love, the wolves, the coyotes. And that's part of the crucial difference between Uranus and Taurus leading up to 1860, Uranus and Taurus late 30s into 1940 and beyond, and Uranus and Taurus now. And there's a lot of resonance, and I do highly recommend Rachel Maddow's Ultra on Ultra Right Wing, and it's very now humming, and the coup against FDR in 1940, it's really superb crafted storytelling. But what we have and why we're gathering the part of Uranus and Taurus, which is a participatory animism. Right? So it's like our ballots and our all these small little things, and, you know, walking to a place we love, you know, leaving gifts, forming an alliance, you know, negotiating. That's really the whole energetic field of this election, with the sun in Scorpio sizzle, moon exalted in Taurus. And we go, well, today it's the new moon heading to that 2 weeks out with a lot of really interesting things that we'll, you know, address along the way, the Brazilian election and so on. So yeah, to love and bless the Scorpio domain, positive intrigue. You know, the utopian Fourier said, in any ideal community, we must allow the passion for positive intrigue, because when people conspire to do good, it draws upon more elegant parts of the psyche than, you know, kind of lighting. And when I've been seeing so many kind of pop culture things and articles on how, you know, Gen Z, yes, reporting in for voting, that's a great story, but also really attracted to these very kind of dark sorcery things. And it's like, well, there's a hunger for that, and it's up to us. Many people in this group write science fiction and fantasy. Yes, right. And even, you know, my friend John J. Oliver saying there's a cool thing on Hulu called Motherland Fort Salem. And it's about an army of witches who are cooperating with mycelia. And I'm like, sounds cool. But when I watched it, it was like, I watched episode one, and it's all the militarization of the feminine, right? And I go, I texted John J. Oliver and said, I watched one episode, I don't see any mycelia yet, and it's the militarization of the feminine, and we could write a better one. He's like, yeah, you're right. Anyway, so just to everybody, too, to animate the desirable that gets the positive intrigue, you know, the little bit that we're stirring as well, you know, positive intrigue, gathering to experiment, to do good without deriving status or hubris or any of those things. But yeah, and then right, and then you had so putting ourselves in the picture, that's part of your wonderful outline, Pat, which we've done. We see ourselves at the polls. There are people also in our council who are poll watchers. Bless you, and have been, you know, and we send, you know, protection, a cloak of living ducks, so that anything bad rolls off, or the pewter shield, or the whatever the thing is, or, you know, people showing up with music and dancing, music and dancing while waiting in line, you know, again, more a little South Africa kind of thing would be great. The strength of that, and
even putting yourself in the picture, if you're seeing something on TV, like if you see somebody, or even the debate tonight between Fetterman and Dr. Oz, what if you were standing in the middle of them and you were giving instructions, or you were just drumming, or you were singing a song, or you were, you know, put yourself into the middle of just not just the headline itself or the visual itself, and, you know, and what, you know, as another way to sort of add your frame to what is actually going on. The reality of it, you can bend, right? If they're going at each other, or there's an issue that you want, you're passionate about, and it's not being covered, just see them talking about it. How would you do it? What if you were actually the moderator and you said, you know, you really need to consider this. So I want to hear from both of you. So putting yourself into the middle of this as well is another way to communicate to the ethers that which we're trying to do here.
Oh, I like it. We can see Ann Landisberg sitting on stage between Fetterman and Oz, just drumming away.
That's right.
Calling in the thing. And always useful, again, you know, I think we could do this now for the Fetterman-Oz conversation, you know, because we wish everything's alive, including words, and we wish for all beings autonomy. Words, you know, feel free to flee from the mouths of liars who would force you into servitude to untruth. You know, and I think that's a fun thing, especially to the Oz Fetterman debate, you know, and words, may you honor and support those who partner with you to speak truth that resonates and liberates all who hear it. No. So yeah, the atmospherics, we want to be playing quite a lot with the atmosphere.
Caroline, do you have a headline that you'd like to see on the day after Election Day? Because we can always manage the energy after, but there is all the votes, whether they're counted or not, stop on Election Day.
Right.
So there is something.
Well, do they even mail-in votes from overseas and stuff?
They have to be postmarked by Election Day. So that's actually one of the lawsuits in Pennsylvania, because there were ballots that came in that didn't have a date. Well, they had a postmark, but weren't dated. But anyway, so they have to be postmarked by a certain time. They can come in later.
Right.
So Election Day still matters.
Right. But I like the early voting again, you know, already it's a huge, well, it's right. Scorpio, dark of moon, new moon. Invisible, right? As you pointed out to us before, you know, the polls, why we're not listening to them, that they only call landlines, you know, which is crazy, right?
So
you know, again, priming the pump for all of us, you know, headlines, you know, going, you know, massive surprising youth vote, never before, all pundits surprised and retire to a remote island, or you know, again, it's part of our playful whimsy, you know, youth turns out in full force, you know, dancing in streets. Who would have known? We would have known. Who would have known that so many women and Gen Z and, you know, and Black culture and everything showed up, you know, in celebration. Look at these people at the polls, how they're celebrating. And it's like, yeah, you know, and well, you remember the incredible photo of Biden down in Florida having a great time being whatever, and Ron DeSantis walking by going, and the thing was like, when you finally meet the person you've been trashing online. But we're open. I think people can unmute themselves too, if you want to go, I have a headline, or however we want to do that protocol wise. And as Deborah Felma says, yeah, visualize the breakthrough. Such an excellent idea. Perhaps our momentum like water, no matter how great or how little it begins, it gathers, moves always down and inward from rivulets to streams to waves to deep calm pools. That's great, Deborah. Right, and the early voting is like, you know, powerful tributaries, right? irrigating. And
And we
that's
just need more time. Democrats just need more time to vote. That's always been my thing. I think Democrats just need more time to vote. Frankly, we just need a month. So it's always been my thing. It's like a day. No, it's a little too crunched. So we just need a little more expansion, a little more room, and we just needed a good month to get it going.
And we're certainly, you know, invoking that this be honest. There's so much nefarious chicanery, right? And everybody goes, the only way the Republicans can win is through chicanery. But that's where we're just creating the atmosphere where that fizzles. It just doesn't work. Or one goes to reach for the tyranny bamboozlement wardrobe, and it's like it's not there anymore. You know, to dissolve things out of the repertoire of group mind, cruelty and tyranny. You know, into the cauldron will activate a cauldron, I think. Yeah, the writing the headlines. I mean, feel free to chat a headline, or to say forth a headline, or to say I'm working on this thing. Oh, well, here there's the chat line is really great. Clams too. That sounds wonderful, Deborah. Clams. Deep clam pools. That's right. Oh, I see. Right.
She meant calm, but I'm like, yeah, clams too.
Right. Right. It's like the person in Glastonbury, we were setting it up to meet, to invite in Dion Fortune. And she said, I said, I hadn't been to Glastonbury tour, and I had to think, because it was the year that Nixon resigned, 1974. And she goes, well, the tour is still fine, but Glastonbury itself, and then I read it as diagonally, is diagonally. I'm like, diagonally, is that kind of like a ley line? And then I realized she'd written Diagon Alley. Right, which is from Hogwarts, and I go, oh, that's right, diagonally Diagon Alley. Anyway, so yes, there's the crucial thing, and Deborah says, and the fourth phase of water is that which surrounds everything, a phase or a protective, communicative field, magnetizes or repels as needed by all of the cells of the body at different times. Yeah, Scorpio, water, deep, deep delving water, and Anne says, active remembering. The world we used to live in, by Vine Deloria Jr. He was a great buddy of mine, a great buddy of mine. Since you bring him up, let's bring him up. So wonderful, really a great person to meet backstage and dish about everything. So I remember also there was the last time I saw him, he was being honored at the Library of Congress. And my buddy Bob Goff was there and brought me in, and all the great American Indian Movement leaders were there, and Bob said, you know, they'd all be fist fights except for Vine's here. Vine is a calm weaver that keeps everybody mannered. And then Vine said, you know, I meet many young activists today who are very, very serious about themselves. You know, and he said, we were always serious about the issues, but always playful among ourselves. And he was a great playful Aries. Right. It was an interesting thing, because whenever I did astro work for him, he's like, you're not negative enough. These are interesting things. Yeah. And Deborah says, we could write a better one. We do write a better one. We are writing a better one. Yeah. That draws forth the magic sizzle, positive intrigue, but it's like, the mother tree, the real thing, the capacity to write the redemptive fifth act, you know, and that's, you know, Pat in now and through tonight, you know, gathering woof for our prayer. That's really great. Yeah, ballots mailed from within the U.S. have to arrive by election day in Pennsylvania. Thank you, Anne. I lost my primary vote by misunderstanding this. Okay, here's a Cat Brown headline: Democratic women sweep governor's races.
Yay!
That's pretty good. Although we like also Pennsylvania as a guy, but yeah, that's good. That's good. We wanna, you know, and we can put these out as psychic press releases.
And Deborah also had asked, why is it Democrats need more time? And I just think it's more respectful. So I think it's an acknowledgement that people have lives, and that they have children and work, and then maybe two jobs, and you know. Even if it's not just the busyness, it is important enough for us to take the time and give people time to really think about their vote and to plan it into their day instead of forcing everybody into this one tiny funnel. So I just think it's if voting is that important and democracy is that important, I think it just adds a layer of and level of respect to the voters themselves and asking more people to participate. Because I know that, you know, participation increases the more that you, the more days you can give people. I know right now I'm thinking about how I want to work in Pennsylvania on election day. And oh no, you know, how am I going to, where do I get my ballot? How am I going to do my, you know, I have to get all that organized and I should get it all organized, right? So I appreciate the fact that I don't have to be in Maryland on election day to vote. And then I can do it early. So then I can go to Pennsylvania and I can help out. So it's sort of respectful of people's time and their desire to participate in democracy.
And speaking of time, is Elena still with us? I know you had to leave early because it's your birthday.
Yay, happy birthday.
Is Elena still here?
She's still here.
I am.
Oh, goody. All right, well, I have you here and I have what you wrote and we want to send you off with full blessings for manifestation. Elect leaders will have Berkeley, California be more just, equitable, inclusive come November 9th. Right, Mary and Micah for City Council, Nagi and Ida, Vanessa, Soli and Nathan for Rent Board, Pamela Price, Alameda, DA, yes on vacancy tax, and a rousing roar of support for all the visionary, courageous, heart-centered, progressive candidates up and down the slate everywhere, said Elena. That's great. And it's your birthday, so it's going to be true.
That's right. It's got to be true.
Right. And I'm happy to read that and or anything else on the radio on Thursday to the Berkeley home team.
Fabulous. I'll send you something. Wonderful. Thank you.
No, that's great. That's great. And then so it is your birthday. You're born with the sun at one Scorpio. You had a solar eclipse on your birthday. And so the chart of tonight is your solar return. So you have the power of eclipses, you know, through the year. And so do we by proxy, you know, may this be eclipsed by this, you know, may corruption be eclipsed by progressive dedication to community, whatever you want to do. And your beautiful moon is at 19 Sagittarius, all humming. Astrologers call that the resolving climate crisis degree. Because it's about long-term vision to restore harmony and equilibrium to the earth. Good for you.
And that brings me to my next newsflash, which is that so the majority of people are thinking seven generations ahead when they're filling out their ballot.
Maybe great. That's great. Yes. Far vision. That's right. From your chart, it's a medicine that you carry in detailed way. And then just for the fun of it, also your moon far seeing vision and may people vote with that in mind, like, right. And it trines Saturn in the eighth house, you backstage rascal, but you have magic keys there. It's the image for your Saturn in Aries is the gateway to the garden of all desired things. And I go, I have that in detail. You know, and it's got a quirky angle to all your Virgo planets too. So it's like woof woof in detail.
All right. Well, yeah. I do have a beautiful spot here in Berkeley. So anyone who's in Berkeley, or when you come visit, please come visit us here at the Berkeley Yurt Temple.
Excellent, the Berkeley Yurt Temple. That's right. So yes, hang with us as much as you can, and then I think your invisible friends are going to take you out for a fete, right?
That's right. We're going to go to a dance party in the yurt soon. But thank you for that, Caroline. Very
You're
inspiring.
Welcome. You're welcome. That's super wonderful. So we were Democratic women sweep governor's races. That's the spirit. I mean, that is really great. And we loved Elena's everyone able to vote gets to vote and all votes are counted. Yeah, that is like a headline, like election honest, surprisingly peaceful. You know, vigilantes dissolve. Well, again, we're just priming the pump for everybody to feel that way. That's great. Right. Yes, I'm scrolling.
Mine was election deniers accept defeat and the vote count graciously.
Wait, say that again.
Election deniers accept defeat and vote count graciously and the vote count graciously.
Election deniers no longer denying, right?
No longer denying, or right, could be all accept the vote count graciously.
They become election affirmers.
Yeah.
We love the honest results, says everyone. somewhere, right? Yeah, that's good. So the money part, right? So the headlines, you know, part of that also, you know, the writing headlines, priming the pump, and then we were talking about, so huge amounts of dark money. It's a dark time. Huge amounts of, you know, you first told us about Leo Leonard giving $1.6 billion to nefarious disinformation things that go dark and then bubble up, right? So it behooves us to animate the dark and the hidden as our ally, lest we leave it by default to the $1.6 billion nefarious whatever. But then you came up with this wonderful image. Perhaps we can join with you, and you can guide us in visualizing the money and the money guy with the bag.
Well, I was visualizing, do you remember the Monopoly guy? You know, this little
We
cigar.
do. We
Yeah,
do.
the cartoon. So you're visualizing him as the sort of the Republican money bag, and he's got all this cash, and he is, it's held on to, and it's fraught with greed. And he is holding on to it for the Republican elections. And then we have little us as coyotes nipping at the bag. And as the money comes out, it turns into seeds, and it turns into regenerating the earth, and it turns into this. Sorry, that was okay.
It
Sorry.
was earth-shaking.
Cat just jumped on table went that way. So regenerating the earth and regenerating our hopes and our spirits and our desire for community. And so we're taking this and we're re not just redistributing it, but we're also giving it a new life. So instead of the greed that it desires to be within his clutches, it's actually moving out into the country and moving out into the world.
Yeah, that's great. When and it's something we can all lend, imaginative molecules to. So, actual coyotes have been caught on, forest cam. They will watch trappers laying traps, and they'll walk behind them, thump thump thump, stealthily, thump thump. And as the trappers move on, the coyotes dig up the traps, spring the traps with a stick as a community service, and then for attitudinal flourish, they pee all over them. So that's also part of our skill set. So, when we brought that up, so we see money bags, right, with 1.6 billion, and then us, with our coyote friends up behind doing little nips. Stella Coyote was so good at this, little nips that nobody noticed until it was too late. Little nips, and as Pat said, and the money pours out into seeds and water and irrigates the earth, and that's when we thought, and candidates that could use more money, waters of life. And and this is also where we will, a little call and response to anybody. What candidate would you like us to all to flow, to have coyote liberated corrupt money becoming good money flow to that candidate? And I was saying
Yeah, are there candidates that you guys want to put before this group that you really feel could use some extra support and love? On a good news thing, Maggie Hassan, U.S. Senator, New Hampshire, terrific U.S. Senator, is now off the Republican list. They're not sending money against her anymore. They're sending it in other places because they really feel like they don't have as much of a chance there. So that's good news. But if there are candidates that you guys want to bring up, Mandela Barnes, love Mandela
Yes,
Barnes. You really could use support. He's a real true sort of left wing guy, and he said a lot of stuff about the police in the past, and they are using that against him. They have said things about crime, and it's really hurt him as a young man talking about his experience in the inner city and what it's like and what he wants to create. And so the Republicans are really trying to ascribe a mantle to him that's unfair, really. So
Well,
he could really use the help.
let's bring him up briefly. Let's bring him up in the center of the thing, which is a fun thing I can do. So we have the in the outer rim is the chart of where everything, the outer where the planets really are, and the inner realm right now is Mandela Barnes. We can put anybody in here, but just to see like to. Because I'm, loving the word inaugurate, which comes from the augur, the diviner within all of us, who can read the land. you know, and go out into nature, and nature reveals by her patterns the responsible person to be inaugurated. But I don't think it ends there. I think once the person has been inaugurated, it's the community's task to strengthen and support the good in them. And so here's a, I like noon charts. I don't have his birth time, but noon charts really work great for me. He's born after the new moon, Sagittarius, always learning, always learning, always curious. How wonderful. His Mercury at 19 Scorpio, again, as Sylvia said long ago, the accursed degree of the accursed sign to the medieval grumpy guys, because it's a no priesthood degree. It's a person pulling back two dark curtains leading to a sacred pathway. And it's right next to Pluto at the degree of rooting out corruption, a dentist drilling decayed teeth. And we go, ooh, spicy, spicy. But look at, you know, here's
wow,
all these guys, right? The new moon, the eclipse, the moon moving over all of his Scorpio planets. And we go, right, so to see his goodness, his revelatory goodness. And one of the things we love in him and in the world is to have deep, spicy Scorpio insight, trines Mars and Pisces, with a compassionate, kind, inclusive heart, right? And may that radiate through, right? So you were saying that the Republicans were really nailing him for, well, he's up against grumpy old Ron Johnson, right?
So, exactly.
For being, you know, a scary black guy.
Yes. And for having said things about how to reform police, that we need police reform. So they're trying to say all the crime in the entire world is his fault. So it's sort of like, you know, how right now one of the big issues Republicans are using is crime and against Democrats, and where Democrats have a great story on crime because of January 6th and everything else. They're making him sort of the poster child for how Republicans are using that issue against Democrats. And when, you know, it's working in the sense that it's slowing his campaign down. So he needs help and support in order to vocalize. And now when you're saying that, it makes sense that he would look clear-eyed at a police system that has caused people so much pain, you know, so in the state of Wisconsin. So you can see where he would really want to investigate it, really look at it honestly, really discuss it honestly. So you can see where he'd want to do that looking at this chart, and it makes sense. And right now it's being used against him.
And then, you know, I like thinking, so he's a sun, moon, Sagittarius, you know, storyteller, you know, knowledgeable about many things in a deep way, you know, and so incarnational agent of Jupiter. Mm-hmm. And so we say, all right, you're a double Sagittarius, Mandela Barnes, where's Jupiter? And we go, oh, Jupiter's in Pisces, the other Jupiter realm. How wonderful. And it's the assignment to get these guys to dance inward and outward. But this deep, compassionate, now we're into, you know, the Pisces team. It was Val Demings with Harriet Tubman behind her, and Amanda Gorman, all with planets, you know, in late and medium Pisces. And we go, ooh. But remember, you know, at night we get to see Jupiter rising so bright because Jupiter's in its closest into the Earth for 70 years. And it's in, it's here it is. It's at zero Aries, retrograding back on Thursday. Jupiter will retrograde back into Pisces. And it's like a foray into action. And then thinking of the Mandela Barnes part of all of us, you know, so Jupiter will re-enter Pisces on Thursday evening, this Thursday. The two hosts of Pisces, the power of curiosity and the power of wonder, power of story, power of metaphor, are back together going, ah. And it's like, well, you can go backstage, you know, Mandela Barnes, and, you know, replenish, and your vision is magnetic and strong, you know, and can, you know, overcome, you know, up to no good corruption. So yeah, so you have a blessing. You bestowed a blessing, or you, I guess you did. Or anybody else want to give Mandela Barnes a blessing, and we can want to look at another candidate. All right, good luck, Mandela. We are with you. There is one more crucial thing to say. Uranus, nature's evolutionary trickster genius, you know, in Taurus, you know, before 1860, 1940, and now animism, it is opposite his Mercury, very close, right, and will be, which is, you know, may his sizzly eloquence, you know, be revelatory and magnetizing, and people go, oh, there's great sense in what he says, you know, and I guess we write the headline, you know, surprise in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it would be great because his opponent is a big, huge election denier. He's a little nutty, right? He's a little very crazy. So he's not just a Trump guy, but he's into every conspiracy theory that you can find, right? So, and someone too had asked me, Beto is doing pretty good in fundraising, but he's still doing low dollar. So he still needs that momentum. And the thing about low dollar is it can shift and change very quickly. If people who are giving that really crucial $25, someone who gives $2,900, somebody who gives $5,000, they do it for business reasons. They do it because they confidently can and they're not going to miss it. They do it because they want power, that they want a connection. But someone who gives you $25 or $30 or $17 or $13 is doing because they believe in you. So if that campaign starts cooling, those low dollars can start to cool. So each of these races, Carmen said, you know, do you know the campaigns of Beto, Stacey, Warnock, Fetterman? And so because they're all dependent on low dollars, they have to keep the momentum up, and we need to help them keep that momentum up. Beto is doing pretty good right now. Stacey Abrams is behind for the first time in the last few weeks from her Republican opponent. Warnock, I'll have to look up. And Fetterman, I think is, you know, Fetterman's doing okay, but he just put out a new sort of push but I guess everyone is for fundraising as well. So what's happening is because it's not just their direct campaigns. So where Republicans and Democrats get direct money to campaigns, what the Republicans do really, really well is dark money. And dark money is I can spend $1 billion against Oz if I wanted to, just as if I felt like spending that money legally, I can do it. So a lot of that money, and one of the reasons we were doing the money bag piece is because there's a lot of this money, and we call it dark money, that you can spend anything you want and it doesn't have to go through the campaign. So that's the kind of money that we're also, with the water imagery, we're trying to, you know, I don't know about you, but oh my gosh, I see so many campaign ads. We're trying to lessen the impact of. But those campaigns are actually doing pretty good.
Well, lessen the impact of what?
Lessen the impact of the dark money that's targeting.
Oh, right. And then just for the ancestral fun of it, because I have Violet Firth, Dion Fortune's chart right here, and it's very close to our own Violet, within a day of the birthday. But because I was, you know, communing with Violet, looking at her chart, so she's a Sagittarius, very close enough birthday to Mandela Barnes, going, you've got Dion Fortune backing you up. And when Dion Fortune is born, she's a Sagittarius, like here, opposite Pluto and Neptune and Gemini, which is a fascinating 1890, 1889, the power of symbols pouring into culture in a popular culture accessible way. So I was looking at its Dane Rudyard, you know, it's Aldous Huxley, it's Paramahansa Yogananda, it's Cole Porter, it's Charlie Chaplin, it's Adolf Hitler, it's Jean Cocteau, it's Walter Lippmann, it's Ho Chi Minh, it's Basil Rathbone, it's Mae West, it's Khrushchev, it's Meher Baba, and Dashiell Hammett. And it goes on, but it's like, ooh, people with the power of symbols, the toxic Hitler thing. And as many of us know, Charlie Chaplin, you know, born 4 days before Hitler, right? And it's his, you know, little dictator soliloquy, which is brilliant. We can easily send it out again. It's always a good thing. But anyway, I just want to give Mandela Barnes the power of ancestral, powerful images delivered in a way that people find accessible and liberating.
Exactly. And then someone brought up, I apologize. Let me look back up. Kat brought up Catherine Cortez Masto. And that's an important one because she's in Nevada and she's a Democratic incumbent who's really in trouble. So she could really use our support and our help. She's a terrific U.S. Senator. And, you know, they're just going through what they're going through. Arizona and Nevada are two places that are kind of on the wacky train right now, as far as their candidates are concerned and their opponents.
Right. So,
and Dahlia wrote Katie Hobbs in Arizona governorship and Carrie Lake cries and melts. Totally fine.
wait, say what?
She said, Katie Hobbs wins Arizona governorship. Carrie Lake cries and melts.
Oh, that's good. Yes, goes off to the cave with no Wi-Fi and just a plate of magic mushrooms.
That's
preparing
right
for the Dementors.
She could
right
use those. Something to untie. She's a little tight.
Well, and also, you know, we as you mentioned too, because you know, North Carolina.
Sherry Beasley.
And we have a bunch of North Carolina people here. Just do we not?
Yeah.
We do. Sherry Beasley. We're and she was just making the news because the Democratic establishment has given her no money.
Right. Well, because they look at a lot of times they just look at the pet. Just like Ohio, Tim Ryan's doing unbelievably well against J.D. Vance, and J.D. Vance is not, I mean, Tim Ryan's doing terrific. So J.D. Vance is, I don't even know why this guy's running. He's sort of like the Warnock of the North. So not Warnock, I apologize. He's sort of like the Herschel Walker of the North. So so they're not giving him money really either. And there is less money within the Democratic establishment to give out. And they look at whether a Democrat has won before a seat. So in Ohio, it's very difficult to win a seat. So they're like, okay, is this sending good money after bad? And they make those sort of calculations.
So
you can still win though, and we still need to help them. And this group, whether the Democratic or the DSCC, Democratic Senate Campaign Committee, makes good decisions or not, isn't our issue. So, I mean, that's not something, we should just send them all the help that we possibly can. Because both Tim can win and Sherry can win.
Right. Can okay, that's win. A good. Well, and also just for us now, we're, you know, the Coyotes have the money sack is open, and we're directing some to Sherry Beasley, whoosh, surprising amounts of liberating money, and to Tim Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
But also just to, I mean, I know there's the North Carolina people here. Yeah, and Aaron said, oh, well, Elizabeth, North Carolina, I'm pretty sure, right? Her headline is Rovember came. That's good.
Yay.
That's good. We can see that. You know, in fact, that might be a good bumper sticker for now. You know, mm-hmm. because Pat will guide us, you know, in the effectiveness at the end of this evening. You know, it's like the I think this is true, and if it's not true, I hope it's true, or we can make it true. The film of Qigong practitioners and somebody with a serious, like a tumor or something, on part of the split screen, and the Chinese practitioners are just chanting, "It is already done, it is already done, it is already done," and as they're chanting, you can see, you know, the tumor shrinking anyway. Mm-hmm. And so you were saying that, you know, before we convene, it is already done.
Mm-hmm. Can I say something about that too? Because when you first imagined what you said about imagining the, how you feel on election morning, that relief and the gratitude that you're feeling, I've just been praying that now, like, oh, I'm so grateful for that future that already exists now.
Yes.
I'm just praying for that. I'm so grateful for that. It's just, I feel so good about that relief that's already out there in the metaverse. It's waiting to happen. So I'm glad you brought
exactly
that in.
So gratitude is, what's wonderful about gratitude is because it's a feeling of the future, right? It puts you into a positive future. So it actually allows you to bring in that future, because that's where that lives, because you're grateful, what you're grateful for has happened may not be what's already happened, or you're grateful for something, but it puts you in, again, a positive future framework. And that's why it's so important. So yes, right now, isn't it amazing? Wow, how wonderful that was. we were so excited. And, you know, even if you're with a friend and high-fiving or giving somebody a hug or what, imagine that feeling when you're so excited that something happened that you work towards. And we're all working towards this as a group, and seeing that success and understanding that is just lovely. So thank you. Thank you.
Right. And then Deborah puts before the council that she went to the town hall to vote and did, but my town clerk was astonished and miffed because I'd not received my ballot in the mail. What's up with the USPS? And we go, right, so we want the joy to go to Hasnamus, to again the cave under dwelling for Dementors where there's no Wi-Fi, but there's nourishing soup and a plate of magic mushrooms. Right, so what about the USPS shall we do? May it be expeditious. Because it's also, you know, if words can flee, you know, may ballots insist on not being twisted or turned. You know, may ballots insist on being delivered with alacrity and honesty. We're talking to everything. We're going full on Terry Pratchett, right? And yeah. Oh, all right. And then Carmen said you were somewhere. Oh yeah, Carmen. That's right. Your birthday recently. Turning in from gorgeous Lithia water hot springs. Oh. Soaking up the sweet, balancing, healing mineral water and templating, sending out those chill level vibes. Wonderful, wonderful. So we were going to prepare for our exorcism with water. Well, wait, so I mean, you, everybody, you know, you tell me, do we want to divert money any more? Or these are ongoing things we can play with forever. But do you want to do the water where we're, because then we do the exorcism.
Yeah. Do you want to do the water, the water ritual?
Yes. Yes. I think
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's what we have here. And it will lead us into our Tsar dance in which people, if you're self-conscious, you can turn off your camera. But it is an Egyptian exorcism dance. And it doesn't matter if you can be move. If you move, that's good. If you don't move, you can move in your mind's eye, you know, but I'll guide us into that. But when Pat and I were kind of what goes where for the evening, I'm like, I think what we're going to be metabolizing the community's poison. So let's drink the strengthening water first. Right. I think that's a good way to go. So it's telepathic water ritual. We're guided. We're instructed in the missive to have an actual glass, not plastic, of water. Does everybody have a cup?
Does anybody have a glass of water? Everyone got it. Awesome.
Oh, very good. Right. So
the reason we're talking about bringing this in is because there is a lot out there of there's a desire to make things worse. There's a desire, there are people taking advantage. For instance, you know, normally during an inflation, corporations make around 11% higher profit than normal. Right now, our corporations are making 53% more profit. So even some folks are saying, some economists are saying, do we really have inflation or do we have greed? Right. So we're not even sure right now, you know, what's the Fed's doing by increasing interest rates if it's all about greed? So there's a lot to metabolize. So the question, so what we're thinking was, and there's been a lot of water imagery from everyone already, is how to not just cool it down, but how to metabolize it, how to change it, how to move it through. So all of this sort of desire to throw in with the negative lot and what they're doing and what they're creating, how we can metabolize that. Now this water then can be put on your, you can drink it. You can, you know, some people will charge water and drink it when they have a cold and put some lemon in it. You can put it on your altar, but it's a symbol of all that we're trying to metabolize into something that's better. So what I'd like to do is you don't touch, you put your fingers around, but you don't touch them. You put them very, very close. And then whichever way you want to, you see energy coming through your body, through the glass, around your body. And if you want to do it clockwise, do it clockwise. If you want to do it counterclockwise, do it counterclockwise. It doesn't matter. But what you're doing, and we're going to do it for like 60 seconds, and we're going to move the energy. Again, I'm going to move it through my heart, around my arms, through the glass of water, and in a circular motion, and keep it up for about 60 seconds. And we're going to charge the water. So, and then we're going to do that for about 60 seconds. Is that anybody who has it ready to do that with a glass of water? Or does anybody want to grab one? Or, okay, you're ready? So you don't touch them. And you can close your eyes and intend in it and start. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start. Okay, we're going to start. And just see it moving through this beautiful light. You can see it as a light, a beam of energy that comes through your body, through it, and it beautiful colors, or you can choose a color. And it's pulsing and pulsing through the water, and visualize yourself intending what you want for this country and the energy that you want to feel, and watch the negativity dissipating and the negative intentions to take advantage of now dissipating. A little bit longer, a little bit longer. Hold it. Keep it going. A little bit longer. Okay. Yay, it's all charged up.
And I told the astrologer witch who lives in Glastonbury and brought water for David Grimes and me telepathically through Zoom from the chalice well at the base of the Glastonbury tour. And so we toasted each other with that water, and that water leapt into here, which then leaps into everyone's water. So we have Dionne Fortune, Power of the Earth, Glastonbury tour, you know, in this water as well. Yay.
Yay.
That's good. So, so that's a good sequence, because again, we're thinking about everything, and all chapters of our life are reporting in. So, so there's in, you know, all art really, if we go back, you know, was community redemptive magic. And in, you know, what's thought of as belly dancing, right? But you go deeper and deeper, they all had meaning. So in Egypt, there's a dance called a zar. Z-A-R, and it's in which the music, very spooky, we're going to hear it in a moment, takes the dancer part of all of us down to the earth, or your desk, or whatever, thump thump, and the dancer takes the discord in the community and works it, and then transforms it into joy. So for anybody who's up for that, this is the wonderful Egyptian electric guitar player Omar Khurshid, an ancestor too soon, alas, but it's very wonderfully underworld spooky, I think. And so Aaron's got that queued up for us. And again, feel free to move around as you feel to do, and not self-consciously. Here we go. Thank you. And the cats had a good time.
Yes.
So remember, with everything, it's not performance, it's magic. And so that's just a great reverie, a great czar, the great Omar Khorshid. I love the spooky, it's, the cat's gotten a little too technical. No, okay, that's right. So I love the spooky for this time of year, the veil gets thin. It's the time of Pumpkin Jack. Jack Barleycorn is dead and Pumpkin Jack prevails. And so I love the spooky music that takes one down. And then the idea, you know, in art and in dance, you know, it's in our mythological DNA. No, kitty. It's like in Cuba, there's a dance that used to be done by men only, in which they took the anger of the community and cooked it. And then the women were like, we can do that better. So, but it's taking it, cooking it, transforming it. So everything, you know, like in what's called belly dance, was meaningful, the veils, the mystery, the thing, but also the coins, right? Turning it into abundance and prosperity and joy and the kind of rebirth thing. So good for us being good sports, and it's a useful thing to do, to take it on and work it through, because it's happening anyway. We are all taking it on, right? But to do it consciously is a really good Pluto thing. To dance with Pluto, it's really good to have a mission, right? My friend Jay used to say, you know, Orpheus is one of the few mythic characters who makes it through the underworld, because the underworld has very little to munch on. His dedication to his music meant safe passage, right? We go, right, so we cooperate with it, or it happens to us in a way we don't like so much, is part of all of the play. I like Ann Landesberger's headline, "Vigilantes get bored and go home." That's good. Learn knitting and weaving. we can keep playing with it, because it gets there. It's like so many things about learning and Middle Eastern dancing, which I want to kind of return to, but I used to do quite a lot. But people go, oh, how do you? Part of it is permission. It's like we know how to undulate. We just, you know, so part of it is permission, you know, and in the same way, priming the pump of, like, you know, my friend Jamie would say, how's the writing going? Oh, it's trudgy. Then you're just not writing wild enough, he would say. And it's like, oh, that's such a great thing to say. You can always edit, right? Just, so with the headlines, you know, priming the pump and, you know, getting to honor my friend Robert Bly on Saturn Day with his memorial, as Saturn was stationing, and, you know, the power of a dedicated life, and going, ooh. And so, yeah, so many things to which he was really dedicated, and also, you know, bring in the poets and double the madness, his cry. So he heard from William Stafford that, you know, William Stafford wrote poems every morning before he got up, and so Bly thought he'd do that, and that's a great practice. And and somebody said, you know, to Stafford, and then Bly took it on, you know, well, how do you do that? And it's like, lower your standards. And then somebody else said, no, actually what he said is lower your expectations, and then just get up and write. You know, we're getting things moving, and it's out of our constricted fears thing. Remember our fabulous mudra that is about self-possession and therefore not fear. And that's part of the Saturn organizing of ideas in this beautiful language. It's authority. We want to insource our authority rather than outsourcing it to incompetent, cruel dingbats, right? Insourcing authority, and then to whom we bestow the trust. But so it's Saturn, leadership, autonomy, and that great mudra that we did last week, which I find so effective. It's just, you know, it banishes fear and invites self-possession, and really good. Right, because you know, for many of us, perhaps, I speak certainly for myself, you know, as we go through the day, it can be like, just the small and the large things. And I am appreciative of gathering with us so we can gather our wits to compost conniption fits into renewable fuel, so that we don't feel off balance or frightened alone. Yeah, so that's great. Yes, Marcus Flowers in Georgia. Marcus winning a big bouquet of victory, says Judy. Yeah, that would be terrific, says Pat. There we go. I'm just catching up here. Right. Okay. I'm way behind. I'm way behind in the things. Marissa Wood. But I just wanted the North Carolina people to, because I think there's three of you anyway, just to take on Sherry Beasley going, you go, girl. We got you. The wonderful person. I don't have her chart, but I can for next week. Next week will be our last little thing. And then on election eve, November 7th, it'll be an audio confluence of us with the usual Trickster Training Council and then open it up to the public kind of thing. But that will be true Halloween. November 7th is true Halloween when the sun is at 15 plus Scorpio, the exact midpoint, the one of the four gates of power. So it's like, well, that's super cool. But do think, you know, about the precious of our fun, and do email and suggest and completely welcome about what you would most like to concentrate on next week. Pat and I will craft things, of course, exquisitely in a completely organized fashion, but we are open to suggestions and guidance as well. You know, I've got a huge stack of charts of everybody. Almost everybody on the council. Oh, and I did just want to put something into play. Also, we do want to bring alive the Statue of Freedom. And Anne, you were remembering what fun we had last time, right? Bringing the Statue of Freedom alive as an egregore. If you wanted to say anything, I see I had these wonderful notes. For anybody to just, you know, tap dance now while I search for, oh, never mind, the Pixies. Oh, wait, here we go. No, never mind. No way. But yeah, so Dionne Fortune had suggested that one would bring alive, you know, a statue, a being, a mythological thing. And again, with Jupiter moving back into Pisces on Thursday night, all the powerful metaphors that ever were or will be are available. You know, and I think of the Piscean realm, you know, when Neptune first moved into Pisces, as all the critters on Earth meeting backstage going, what are we going to do about the humans? We got to either kill them or heal them. Let's do both. You know, and let's make anything that has ever moved humans to participatory good manners available for fresh expression. And I think that's part of the beautiful dance of Jupiter and Neptune together in Pisces. Jupiter ventures into Aries going, let's do this. Let's bring old things alive in a fresh new way. And now let's go replenish and find each one of us things that like living animals want to partner with us going, you know, I will partner with you. Give me a fresh expression. Then as Jupiter moves back into the Piscean realm.
Caroline.
Yes, so, yeah. Hi.
Caroline, I would like to say something about the statue, because when you brought her in at the last election council, I had no idea that this was on top of our Capitol. Right. I had never seen her. And once you shared that image with me, I shared it with a lot of other people, and every single person I shared it with her with was as moved by her as I was. And I really found it so easy to work with her. And I got my own little statue as a response to this. And I have also a beautiful picture of her, which shows her, you know, it's more, the statue is so delicate, but the real statue is very strong. And I really felt her very responsive to the work we did with her during that council, and really animated. And I know I shared with Aaron at the time, but you know, like probably a lot of us, I was glued to my television set with my eyes bulging out on January 6th. And just because you're watching it in live time and wondering how bad this was gonna get. And I really felt that
the work we had done with the goddess of freedom that lives on the top of the Capitol dome was a protective force on that day. And as I watched that, I really felt so strongly that I could feel her walking through those halls and offering protection and cooling. And so I just, if anybody here has not yet had the opportunity to go online and look at the image of this powerful goddess that stands on the top of our
Capitol.
Well,
Well, it's also great too, because it's for anybody who watches news, anytime they show the Capitol, she's right on top of it, right? And she's
right, and sometimes
there.
You see her profile really well. Like sometimes it just sort of looks like a little cigar, and then other times you really get to see her shape, and it's always so exciting when that happens.
Right, so she's got a great eagle thing going on. Yeah. We'll report more on the thing. She's got a sword that is sheathed, and the only other statue of freedom in America is on top of the Georgia State Capitol. And like what you just said, Anne, my friend Robinette Kennedy, who's disguised as a psychotherapist, teaches trance postures, but very involved in Georgia politics. And she said, I was born in Atlanta, and I've looked at the State House every day, and I never saw the Statue of Freedom until you pointed it out, right? This is part of the thing. And we also made little, I'm setting up my DC altar, they're all coming into play, but we put little bits of cornmeal from the Georgia. So you can all cut things out and put them on your, so I had a printed picture of freedom and some other goddesses from around the, statues from around the world. There's a Ukrainian goddess in Kyiv who's just phenomenal. You could put her in there too. But we made little cornmeal trail from the Georgia State Capitol freedom to the U.S. Capitol freedom going, there you go. And remember, it was January 5th that Warnock and Ossoff were elected in the runoff, yeah. Right? And they were going to be certified on January 6th at the same time as the insurrection. So it's like, whoa. And I always remember that January 6th is one of my favorite days. It's Twelfth Night. It's Epiphany. It's when the astrologers arrived, right? And so that we just made, and so January 6th, it's like, no, you can't have that. You know, and the Dementors were awfully good at animating, you know, hoovering up important dates. They came to rally at the around the White House on December 12th before January, which is Virgin de Guadalupe, you know, Santa Lucia Day. It's like, no, you can't have that either.
But when you think about it, like watching those people, I think was an epiphany for a lot of people. Watching those rioters did present us with an opportunity to have an epiphany and to look at a part of our country that we might not have wanted to see. And it gave us a chance to move forward from that.
Uh-huh.
I agree 100%. This is all an amazing opportunity to really see. People really feel that way. And it's good to know it. Otherwise, we would not have known. It's a fabulous, you know, there are times when there are people that come in our lives just to point out the worst in our community or the worst in our world. And you're like, wow, I didn't know that do people feel that way? Do they really think that way? And they really, really do.
So, right. So actually I'm just scrolling, but Deborah Felmuth, do you still want to sing Freedom is Coming for Mandela? You can unmute yourself. You have autonomy. Ask to unmute. Unmute. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and part of it, maybe because there. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
So part of it may be just because of his name, you know, and Nelson Mandela, and I love that connection to Mandela Barnes, even though I know they say it differently, and so the South African freedom song, you probably know it, and I'll just sing a little bit because it's good for everything that we've been talking about. It's good for visualization. It's good for whoever who said the audioization piece too. I mean, it's good for creating the template that we then fill in, and it goes like this. Oh, freedom, Oh, freedom, oh, freedom, freedom is coming. Oh, yes, I know. Oh, yes, I know. Oh, yes, I know. Freedom is coming. Oh, yes, oh, freedom, oh, freedom, oh, freedom, freedom is coming. Oh, yes, oh, yes, I know. Oh, yes, I know. Oh, yes, I know. Freedom is coming. Oh, yes, I know. And
that's
a fabulous expression of positivity. I mean, the South African people overthrew an apartheid regime by dancing and singing like that. So,
yeah, and it's true. Right above your comment, I'm now catching up. Is Vicki Stevens? Yeah, audiozation, wonderful, can be added to visualization about the outcomes already having happened. Right. We don't dictate how it happens, but open the space for the energies to come together in surprising ways. Mazbut! Absolutely. That's really great. And I think it's part of how I like to play with planets representing, you know, intelligences that comprise our inner democracy and connect us to the world. Is Saturn stationing is a part of us that's really good at defining, dedicating what we're doing, and taking vows, which we're doing. But Saturn's terrible at how, because how is not Saturn's job, right? Saturn's job is what, right? And Uranus and Jupiter chime in and go, we'll do how. I mean, do common sense things, right? Because that's magic too. But not to let the compelling illusion of realism be imaginative impediment. So Saturn goes, we dedicate to what, and then exactly as Vicki says, you know, we wonder how. Ah, that's so witty. I couldn't have figured that out. How wonderful that is. That's really great. And that's part of our, you know, so we've emerged from the czar. Let's sort of say that's a kind of cauldron of rebirth. We're in America's Pluto return only by looking at everything really deeply. And I did, send, you know, in the bottom of the missive, you know, great, worthy things. You know, Mallory McMorrow, again, her blazing speech from the Wisconsin State Senate House, just 6 minutes, about speak truth, be power. So blazing. And the article about her saying she's an inspirational model for the midterms about just blazing, liberating lucidity, you know, which we might want to put in our brew and wish and bestow upon those who are worthy of, or who are up for being, you know, agents of blazing lucidity. So, and then I guess I did find my scrap of paper. I just wanted to mention a few remarkable things because I went through everybody's chart, and everybody's chart is of course humming here, I don't know if Don Danby's here, but I go, holy moly, woman, Don Danby's moon is at 16. Taurus opposite Uranus at 16 Scorpio. That's the election. That's the election. That's fantastic. Carmen Snyder has 16 Scorpio rising, 16 Taurus setting. It's like, that's the election. Barbara Novak has her Mars at 16 Scorpio. Elizabeth has her vertical axis, IC, at 16 Scorpio, 16 Taurus. Kat Brown was born on November 8th. That's really cool. Other many powerful things for fun. And Vicki Stevens has Pluto exactly quincunx her Leo things. No, it's not performance, it's magic. And if we combine everybody's mojo and medicine, but that was just a remarkable run, and that was my first. All right, and Delia Carroll has her Sun at 16 Leo. Oh, these 16 guys. Right, it's Adrienne Wade who has her Mars at 12 Aries. You're in charge of leading the bomb defusing squad, Adrienne, if you accept such. I don't know if she's here. Yeah. Adrienne, are you here?
Yeah, she's here.
Oh, good. Where are you?
She said, can you see her? She's waving.
She's waving. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's good. Adrienne, are you willing to take on being the Mars woofy women's defuse the bomb squad?
Absolutely. Mission accepted.
Excellent. We knew we could count on you for that. And you'll be having your Chiron return. And it's Chiron in the election chart that will be at 12 Aries, the College of Mentors, you know, backing up your woofy what is it to be a woman hero? Mars at 12 Aries. That's great. Okay, so defusing bombs, again, you know, they fizzle like a wet firecracker fart. They're mockable. They're harmless. Or back to the great, you know, Dion Fortune letter from October of 1940, you know, the angelic beings and the iridescent protective dome. And I mean, her home in London did lose its roof, right? So, but nobody was hurt. So on like that. But yeah, and then, yeah, so everybody's chart is humming, but I did find the important scrap of paper there. So, so now, well, we don't have a money dance song, right? So you know, we could wait. Where did Pat go?
I'm here.
Oh, there you are. So we could just, you know, do a little dance around too. In the spirit of Marge Piercy, a charm for attracting wild money, I will rub my hands with honey and run through the vaults of banks and up against Monopoly Man too and dark money. You know, come money. You know, I will not imprison you in dark clanking trust funds or dark vaults. No, come money and build a murmuring swarm in my purse. There we go. So
we could just do. Yeah, and I worked with a lot with one fundraiser on campaigns, and every time she got like a large check or even like a $10 check, she'd do a money dance.
Oh, that's right.
So
that's
everybody great. Would get up, and so the more money that we raised, the whole office had to get up and do the money dance. And so it was our way of being joyful around all that we were getting.
Well, we do have one money song if you want it. Oh. I don't know if you want it.
I don't know.
Money soon. Honey. Do you know the song Money Honey?
No, but go.
Originally by the Drifters.
Oh, good.
So I think it's, I don't know, it's 60-something maybe. Elvis Presley did it. Lady Gaga has most recently done it. And I think a few of the words need to be changed, but I'm going to give you the original Drifters words.
We can take
and
it.
And invite you to think of which words could we substitute so that this became really the money dance that we need. So you can dance to it, I think. Here we go. Yeah. Oh, the landlord rang my front doorbell. I let it ring for a long, long spell. Went to the window, breathed through the blinds, asked him to tell me what was on his mind, and he said, money, honey, wop, up, wop, money, honey, wop, up, wop, money, honey, wop, up, wop, if you want to get along with me. So I screamed and said, what's wrong with you? From now on, baby, our romance is through. He said, tell me, baby, face to face, how could another woman take my place? And he said, money, honey, wop, 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 money, honey, wop, 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 money, honey, wop, 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 if you want to get along with me. So I've learned my lesson, and now I know the sun may shine and the wind may blow, the men may come and the men may go, but before I tell them that I love them so, I want some money, honey, wop, 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 money, honey, wop, 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 money, honey, wop, 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 if you want to get along with me.
Charming.
Yay!
I think very charming. Very charming. Yeah. And I love many things to just play with. But and then just bringing in ancestor Reverend Ike, right, who said, when you talk about money, don't use the word spend, because spend is spent. Use the word circulate. I went to the grocery store and circulated some money, right? I gave Mandela Barnes, I circulated, $13 to Mandela Barnes, who is named after Mandela, right? So it's all resonant. It's all resonant. So no, that's super, super wonderful, charming.
Yay. Yeah, that was awesome. Thank you.
So did you want to, okay, we're doing atmospheric mist, and then you have this really useful thing, Pat, about the antonym, the antidote, yes. The antidote so, antonym. Hmm?
So I was looking up, I'll just do it really quickly, because I was looking up the antonym of grievance. And I was blown away, because the antonym, and as Caroline calls it, the antidote for grievance, impartiality, fairness, justice, respect, tolerance, praise, kindness, That's actually the antonym for grievance. Isn't that fascinating?
It's wonderful. And I had to ask you, remind me what antonym means, right? And it's, and it's the opposite antidote, right? So the opposite the opposite of grievance is fairness, impartiality, kindness, praise, and right. Right. Well, here's something to eclipse, right? May all grievance be eclipsed by fairness, justice, impartiality, joy, kindness, praise, respect, and tolerance. That's good.
Exactly.
That's good.
Exactly. That's justice, good. Fairness, joy, respect, tolerance, impartiality, kindness, praise.
Mm.
All of those are antonyms to grievance.
Hey, Pat, can I add one thing too? I was looking at, when I was doing my ballot about voter suppression, and I was looking at the antonyms for suppression, and exaltation the opposite of that. So can we exalt?
Oh, yes, I love it. Exaltation.
By jingo, Elizabeth has got it. She's got the spirit of the trickster. That's right, exactly. Right, wonderful. Yeah, the do it again. The antonym of suppression is exaltation. Boy, there's a lot of voter exaltation going on, right? That's really great. That's really fun. Yes, I love that. Exaltation. Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to actually put that in the chat also, because that's a good one.
Yeah, exaltation.
Right. I'm putting in the grievance.
So exaltation is the antonym of suppression. Wonderful.
I love it. Thank you.
Sort of a Saturn-Jupiter thing. Yeah, that's really great. So we're almost ready to deconvene. Right. We have some ballot suggestions for our ongoing ballot thing. And if anybody wants to show their ballot, that's great. Now or email or next council. And then our prayer. Well, that's a great prayer. Exaltation Trump. No, we can't do it. Exaltation eclipses suppression. That's a great prayer. And we do have our election dance song, right? So, do you want to add anything else, Pat, or anybody else right now?
I would love to hear if anybody else has anything to add, and how you're seeing the week going and how you're feeling about things that are going on. And
what you'd like in your neighborhood. How does your neighborhood feel? And what kind of blessing would you like us as a group to bestow on your neighborhood and the races in your neighborhood? Anybody? We love.
I just wanted to say, Pat, I hope you saw that drawing I made with the five suns and all the orange juice and everything that I made for the candidates' juicy, safe environment.
I made it with you
in mind. And I just was thinking of if we can like let some of those seeds just from those bags of money, just like fill that meadow up with more and more flowers of all the, you know, everything I could put in there, balloons and butterflies and anything uplifting, mushrooms and anything I could find that was refreshing that I kind of went over the top with. But let some of those seeds go into that meadow that I would just love like that.
Yeah,
I think that's terrific. It was gorgeous. It was really inventive and interesting and fun and fabulous work.
I made it for you. I just thought everybody would want to come to that party.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly.
Good. Okay. So are we good? Should we put on our rousing song in which people can unselfconsciously dance around if they want to turn off their video camera? But it is so, well, we will put in our tomorrow notes. Pat was moved by somebody showing their ballot a leaf that they're going to write on, and then you had the idea of we could write on four leaves.
Yeah.
One we toss in the water, one we bury in the earth, one we waft into the air, and one we take home and burn. Yeah.
Yes, and write on it what you write on it, and then use all the four elements.
Yeah. That's a complete Jupiter ritual. It's like the gods would like to help, but they can't help unless we ask. And the only way they know we're asking is ritual. But that'll do. You know, the four elements ritual is a complete wonderful thing. So that's great. So we'll put that in the notes for just people to play with. And, you know, and that's easy, not daunting. I mean, the ballots are terrific, but we can find four leaves and write on them. And
it's very Sibylline.
Very Sibylline.
Sibylline.
Sibylline, right.
Yeah, the Sibylline Oracles.
So your prayer is already granted, this is our election dance rousing song. Pat wanted something rousing, and I agreed. So here we go.
Inside your head, on every beat, and the beat's alive, deep inside, the pressure's high, just to stay alive, 'cause the heat is on.
Excellent team, go forth in diaspora and be woofy and spread the seeds and the shambles and the good-spiritedness and the reciprocal blessing. Make a well for you, especially, you know, or all the demons, you know. And when you meet demons in the underworld or anyone, you always say, what's your story and how can we dance? Woof, woof, woof. Thank you, team.
Thank you, everyone.